Do you get those ads all the time on your Facebook, Blue Chew?
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm just asking. I get them all the time.
Yeah, oh, there's okay. Jobs to ask questions.
Come yeah.
On, yeah.
You do get those ads a lot?
Yeah. I don't order that. Don't get me wrong.
Do you watch like when a Blue Chew ad comes up? Do you watch it?
No.
Do you watch it in its entirety or do you just?
No, I move on.
You ever curious about it? Like if it works?
No. Why would I be curious about it? I'm like, I need it.
I mean, you're 60.
So what?
I mean, rumor has it once you get so old that you may need a little, help.
They call me fine wine. I get better with age, if you know what I mean.
I gotta be honest, I really like this new intro.
Thank you.
I really like it.
It's kind of kicking.
It is. It's really
good. It's Grunge City Johnson, man. It's got all that.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what it is, man. There's something about that one that just, I think when it comes to the creation of the line and ultimately over the line, there was something about just me wanting that kind of grungy look. And I tell you
I love that.
I think it comes from my days of being a wrestling fan
mm-hmm.
and the NWO.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like a black and white, and mm-hmm. it's kind of that same font. I think that's where it comes from. John Bird here, Tony Gump here, everybody. Ooh. Hey now. Hey now. How's hey everybody now. Doing?
It's doing good. Hey, I do want to say something about the intro. The neat thing about it is, to me, it kind of encapsulates the show, both parts of the show. We have fun, like you mm-hmm. saw at the beginning, but ultimately it's serious business,
as they say.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Yeah,
yeah. It's probably we got to be careful about our language. We had this big long discussion before the show started.
Yeah, I'm scared
about this lengthy list of, and we'll get into it in I guess in a few minutes, but mm-hmm. There's this lengthy list of words that YouTube AI picks up on. And I think this is where Pig Latin's going to help us.
Yes.
I think this is where our Opsopi Laptop language, we got to name that. I think there's a name for it, but I don't know what it is because I got it from Bubba the Love Sponge. That stuff's going to really come in handy. Well, and it might not because the list of words are so lengthy. Like, it's almost like, okay, YouTube rules, you can't use 90% of the English language.
Mm-mm.
I mean, Tony showed us a list. I was like, what are we supposed to, how do we avoid that?
It's like we got to create our own language. It's like a chess game. Like, it gets you on everything if you just talk.
It affects your stream of consciousness.
Yeah,
you're having to constantly self-regulate yourself.
It's easy to get on the radio and not say, like, bad cuss words. Like, I can avoid saying the F word. I can avoid saying, P or D or whatever. But, I mean, these other words are like regular words. We've got...
The problem comes
that comes
in.
From... We're looking over the numbers. In last week's episode was a really good episode.
It was.
And it got almost no traction. And it was because we brought up the topic of... Let me see.
Things changing in the sky.
That's right. Weather that changes. So, I'm at Clay, Ainge Che.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that, and they put a disclaimer on the video. and they say essentially, hey, what the people in this video says is not true. It's the opposite. And so our numbers on that video were a lot lower than they should have been because it's not putting us in the algorithm. And that's incredibly frustrating. But
I hate having to bow to the god of YouTube.
I know.
Yeah, and I get that too. Some of our best shows have the lowest.
They're great. I think they're one of the best social media platforms in the world.
It's why we need to get people on here to start going over to Rumble, because that's, you know, that's only a matter of time.
I'm scared now. Humble Ray.
Yeah, you probably can't say the R word. So you got to say Humble Ray. All right, so let's go ahead and get down to business. Today was a big day in court. Mm-hmm. You had day numero dos of Michael Cohen.
Actually, let's let little Trump say something. This is one of his inspiring things that he says.
And then I tweeted, you know, I have many millions between Facebook and Twitter. It's great. It's like owning a newspaper without the losses. It's incredible.
Thank you, little Trump.
So he, they're in court today, Michael Cohen. Everybody knows Michael Cohen. We talked about him, everything else. Does cross-examination Willie. So Trump's team is examining Michael Cohen. This thing has turned out to be an absolute disaster for all these people.
I mean,
for every all the Get Trump people, it's been an absolute disaster. But one of my favorite moments was Trump leaving court today, and he comes out... And he's got pictures of mugshots of illegal immigrants. And he's just, keep in mind, he's having a campaign from a New York City court. And he is taking full advantage of it. I mean, it is like a campaign stop every time he walks. And he knows the media is going to be there. The media is going to be there because they want to try to ask him a question that causes him to breach the gag order. So they're there every step of the way. Free press. We were talking about before the show how Donald Trump is not going to spend a dime in certain states because he doesn't have
to. Yeah, there's no need to.
He's not going to spend any money in Alabama because, one, he's probably got Alabama locked in. Mm-hmm. But, two, what's the reason? What's the point? He gets all the free press he wants. And so we got to keep that in mind, too, when he gets in these he's got all these legal fees and everything else. Like, at the end of the day, he's saving a lot of money, you know?
Yep.
He's getting free airtime everywhere he turns. Anyway, this is Trump leaving court today after the Michael Cohen deal.
This is what they should be looking at right here. That's what they should. This is called our new wave of crime, migrant crime. I call it Biden migrant crime because he's allowed... probably 15, 16 million people into our country, having no idea who they are. Many are from prisons and jails. Many are from mental institutions and even insane asylums. They're emptying out all over the world. They're coming into our beautiful USA. And this is a man just charged with the death of a three-month-old baby. This right here. This is what we're allowing into our country. No checks, no nothing.
How about that? And we see that on a regular basis. We see those stories. I don't have to lean into those. But he's treating it as if it is a presidential candidate at a press conference talking to the media. And he's phenomenal. Nobody's better at this than he is. Mm-mm. He's so good at it. And I think we, as Americans, are seeing... Maybe the greatest political candidate of all time. The we're looking at a guy that plays the game better than anybody else before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm counting Ronald Reagan. I'm counting it. And things change. Things are a lot different now than they were 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
But nobody has been as good at this game as Donald Trump.
Mm-mm.
And nobody's been worse than Joe Biden.
I can't think of me. Even old Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter. I thought you said Jim Acosta. Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter. I mean, he doesn't look nearly as bad. as he used to.
I do remember Reagan being pretty good as a kid. He had a lot of good, funny moments, but he was not like Trump. He wasn't this, you know,
right,
of steel. Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think he had to be, because the climate was not, was really not like that.
Right.
And I think, like Reagan, he uses humor, but there's a seriousness behind it.
Right.
He's obviously more direct because he's got to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got to be. Reagan was perfect for his time. I don't think that would work now. You've got to literally have somebody that's willing to get in the ring and just swing.
What's the one thing I always say? This ain't your grandpappy's politics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a whole different ball game, and not just because times have changed, but because of what these people have created.
Yes.
With lawfare, with the way they've got TDS, Trump derangement syndrome, and everything else. They've completely, and their obvious disdain for people like us that support Donald Trump. I mean, they hate us.
It is. It's literal hatred.
They say the most awful things about, you know, uneducated, backwoods, white, trailer trash and everything else. It's like, no, man, we are more diverse at this point on the Trump train. We're more diverse than the Biden Express.
Absolutely.
We got so many different kinds of people that are on. Anyway, I'm gonna
not to mention we haven't lost our minds.
That's true. We still have our sanity.
Yes, we can still think for ourselves.
Now granted, I'm on Xanax and antidepressants, but I do have my sanity.
You do. You're not being controlled by anything. No one controls. No one controls Andrew McLean. He is uncontrollable.
I really am.
Oh, in a good way. In a good way.
In a good way. So anyway, Michael Cohen, he takes a stand today. And this is day two, right? He was on stand yesterday, and he was being questioned by the prosecution. And the prosecution, it's their witness, so they're obviously throwing him softballs, and they're wanting him to go in and talk about, you know, how Trump did this evil, dirty thing. Mm-hmm. One thing that was pointed out on CNN, which was fascinating, and I don't know if they meant to do this, but they started talking about his book deal. And I can't remember what the name of his book was. It was like, you know, Unearthed or something. And they talk about the tremendous amount of money he made on this book deal. Now, if you go back and you look at the people that were in Donald Trump's inner circle who have ultimately broken away and become people that seem to have Trump derangement syndrome,
mm-hmm.
all of them seemingly get a book deal, right?
Yeah.
And they all seemingly have, they seem to make a lot of money off of it. But you never hear of people that actually bought the book, you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's always like a $500,000 book purchase at the beginning from
right.
one person, you know?
Yeah, they always get paid big money for just writing the book, and then it makes it to the New York Times bestseller list, but you never really see people like, oh, man, this book was great, or I bought the book. Listen to them explain what happened with Michael Cohen's book once he turned on Trump and got his little book deal.
Michael Cohen just testified that he's made roughly $3.4 million in sales of his two books over the past four years. He says he doesn't know exactly, but he would say around $400,000 for the book Revenge. That's a lot of money for two books. I mean, that is, like, I know lots of authors. I've written books, too. That is very, very successful. Being a member of the resistance, as it were, has been lucrative for Michael Cohen. I assume that will be something that Todd Blanche tries to hit home.
Mm-hmm. He's been, being a part of the resistance has been very lucrative.
Oh, jeez.
And that's exactly why. That's what, it's what happened. Bill Barr got a book out.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Cohen got a book out. Who else? Who else has turned on Trump that ended up writing a book? There's been a ton of them.
Well, somewhere there is a gigantic, humongous warehouse full of books that were never sold.
Right.
I guarantee you.
They just got a stockpile of them.
I'm not even convinced those books were even printed. I think it was just a...
Yeah, you don't even see them in the store. I mean, at the end of the day, this is the way this works. these people, and we'll just take Michael Cohen, for example, gets approached. He's in Trump's inner circle at the time. He gets approached, and they say, Michael, we can, if you will turn on Trump, we can assure you that you will make a lot of money. And we'll do it in the form of a book. We'll get you to write a book that you really don't even have to write. We'll have somebody write it for you. And we will give you a large amount of money just for the book. And then book sales, whatever happens, blah, blah, blah. All you have to do is turn on Trump. They do this because they assume it looks really bad for Trump. And it did to just the average person. For Trump to have one after another person from his inner circle turn on him. Because once that happens so many times, the average person says to themselves, wow, Trump must really be a bad guy in private because he can't keep his friends around. They all keep stabbing him in the back. And so one by one, they'd start picking him off, picking him off, picking him off. And if they wouldn't go along with it, they would railroad them, whether it's through the intelligence agencies or the DOJ, Jeff Sessions, Michael Flynn, Paul Manafort. And these are all early on in the Trump administration in 2017. They started picking these people off. If you don't want to go along with us, we're going to take you out. We're going to throw you in prison. Over and over and over, we saw this. And all of these people, not Sessions and them, but the other ones that end up creating their identity to be anti-Trump, always get some sort of lucrative book deal. And that's the way it works. They just get in the inner circle, pick them off one by one. Remember Cassidy Hutchinson? She was the one of the advisors, and she was the one that came up with the story that on January J. Ix say, you know, that date from 2021, she was the one that said when Trump was riding back to the Capitol, he told the Secret Service agent, take me to the protest.
Yeah.
And when he said, I can't do that, Trump lunged and grabbed the wheel. That turned out to all be fake. But Cassidy Hutchinson, who came up with the story, she got a lucrative deal and, you know, is living a happy life, even though she turned out to be a liar.
Yeah, I got a prediction, because this kind of reminds me of the whole art thing where somebody just happens to paint a piece of art in an hour and then makes $500,000, you know.
Hunter Biden.
Kind of reminds me of that.
Mm-hmm. Blow art. Yep. Sell it to Chinese oligarchs, Russian oligarchs.
I mean, there's not really, you don't really have a choice. It's sort of like a mafia-style choice.
Yeah.
They've got you either way. You're either going to play our way or we'll make you pay.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's essentially the mafia.
Choice. Yeah, there is no choice.
It kind of reminds me of the Carrie Lake thing that actually got played. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's like it's not even real. It's like it's a movie.
These last even going into 2020, that's when, I don't know, everything just kind of turned surreal, and that's when I got into radio, oddly enough.
I got to say, I
you did it. This is all your fault.
It is.
I'm getting the idea. I know where they're getting all their movies ideas the past 30 years.
That's,
Well,
you take, what's that one show, House of Cards?
Yep.
I mean, that stuff is, you watch that, and you're like, man, that I think that's actually how Washington works.
Yeah, that's exactly what my wife said about this state.
Yeah.
But you wonder, how did that get made?
The people on the inside. No. Because think about movie producers, all right? They want to make a movie and they want it to seem realistic.
Right.
What are they going to do? They're going to go to the environment they're making a movie about, the actual environment, and study it and see how people behave and see how people interact. So if you're going to make a movie about Washington, D.C. as the director, you're going to go to Washington, D.C. and spend some time and see how things work. So you can accurately portray that in your movie.
But how are you able to accurately portray that? To me, it would feel like you're betraying the powers that be, or the powers that got you in the position as a well-known, high-paid director to begin with.
Well, I don't know that they're doing it to expose. I think they're just doing it for entertainment, and Plus, it helps hide the shadiness of it because you can say
it. Yeah, okay.
normalizes it. And people are like, oh, that's just movie script stuff. That's not real.
Okay, that makes sense.
These people, that stuff happens all the time. Remember that show Breaking Bad where they did that thing, the blue?
Mm-hmm.
They got all those ideas, everything from the train heist for the liquid to replace the weight. They got it all from the sources and from the FBI and other agencies.
Yep.
Oh, man.
That's it. Plus these people, if we go back to some of the episodes we've done, where we talk about the artists doing these weird, what seems like satanic rituals and stuff like that. It's like they want to show it off without saying, this is what we're doing. And so I think that's kind of the same thing. They want to brag about it. But then if you confront them about it and say, are you doing this? Of course not. That's conspiracy theory. But it's almost like they have to brag about it.
It makes me hope some movies are just totally fiction and thought up, like Terminator and other things.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started on Terminator.
AI Terminator, cuz.
Yes. I'm done with funny AI songs and stuff like that. Uh-uh.
Mm. Well, they think about this. That movie that the Obamas did, what was it, Tomorrow Never Comes or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
The Day After Tomorrow. I don't even remember. I mean, that was, people were bringing that up. We had the solar flare thing just a couple days ago. People were like, that
wasn't
may be
there
happening.
A bridge out in that movie too?
Yeah, in a ship that wrecked.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I mean, you just can't, these days, you just can't say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. You just, I mean, you can't after what you've seen.
You would think so, but it still happens to me.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm absolutely not surprised by anything. And actually, Brian, who we work with today, was talking to me about how today they put, or recently they put two different AIs on the phone talking to each other, and they could see in the room the way they had it set up. And they were having a discussion about the decor and how they enjoyed it. And, you know, he said that it was amazing because it just sounded like two people talking.
Oh, man, that freaks me out.
You know, it should. Man. How far away from are they, is AI sentient? Is it already, does it already think for itself?
Yeah, it probably does.
I think I've read things before. It's like 2035.
There was an article I came across today talking about AI getting to the point that it's able to deceive people with misinformation and things of this nature. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, AI is made by who? It's made by humans. Who are humans? They're faulty. They've got their good sides and their bad sides. They lie. They're capable of great evil, and they're capable of great good. So why wouldn't you think that AI
would have those same traits?
Would have the exact same traits. And that's frightening because the power that they yield is a lot stronger.
Well, and the people that are evil that would want to make AI evil, do evil, will do whatever they got to do to get their hands on AI.
Right.
And
I gotta
turn it into that.
I got to say, I think AI is at the stage. The internet was at the stage whenever we heard the ding dong, when we were getting up there, you know, 56K. Yeah. I think that's where AI's at. It's got so much to go.
Mm.
Yes.
So you're saying AI is like Napster right now?
We're not even at Napster because you can't download much. You're just hoping you can chat with people at this point. I think it's going to get much, much heavier.
Well, what really frightens me are the 1950s and 60s doo-wop songs that they create, singing about poop and things like that.
And vomit in the back pocket.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. That woke me up.
Okay, maybe we're at the excite moment then. We're past the...
Yeah, we're just done altogether.
Yeah,
That's it.
It's over.
Okay, so now that everybody's freaked out, let's go back to where we were, which was the court case. Ooh, so all this is blowing up. Vivek Ramaswamy made an amazing point.
I love him.
And if we don't get this guy as press secretary, I'm going to be highly upset. He is so good at this. He's so quick-witted. He's on top of it. So I'm going to play you this video of him where he came out. Remember that at the trial, you've started having Republicans show up and be there on behalf of Donald Trump. And I something tells me this was Donald Trump's idea. Mm-hmm. But Republicans have been needing to get behind Donald Trump on this lawfare front for a long time. So yesterday it started happening. You had Tommy Tuberville and some others, Byron Donalds, went to court with Trump. They went in the courtroom with him. They came out of the courtroom. They talked to the press. And because Trump's the one with the gag order and not them, they can say what they want. They're going into court. They see what's happening firsthand, and then they can come relay it to the press, to the world.
That's absolute genius.
It's so smart of them to do. So that started yesterday, Monday. Mm-hmm. And then you had another batch show up today, which was Mike Johnson, Vivek Ramaswamy, and some others. And so they're now speaking on behalf of Trump, saying the things that he can't say. Vivek makes a phenomenal point.
Wow.
Saying that if you want to know the truth about what Donald Trump, whether or not what Donald Trump did is illegal, ask yourself what would have happened if he would have done the opposite of what they're saying is illegal. And if that's illegal, that's a lose-lose situation. So one of them is lying.
Yeah.
Watch this. This is great. Love this guy.
Thank you. I want to thank my colleagues, Governor Burgum, Congressman Mills, and Congressman Donalds for laying out the political backdrop here. This is a politicized persecution that is nakedly apparent. What I want to do is dive a little bit deeper into what we actually learned today in that courtroom. What do we see in there? First of all, I learned a lot from being in there in person. It is one of the most depressing places I have been in my life, but it is fitting because the only thing more depressing than the environment of that courtroom is what's actually happening in there. It's straight out of a Kafka novel. The prosecution's main strategy appears to be to bore the jurors into submission. And if you look in that direction, sadly, it may appear to actually be working. Now, I would like for anybody here in the press, anybody at home, anybody in MSNBC or the media afterwards, to clearly state what exactly is the crime that Donald Trump committed. Oh, wait. We have not heard a good answer to that question. It has been vague until today. You heard Michael Cohen's testimony, after which I would say it is less clear than ever what that crime actually was. They'll say falsifying business records. Well, let's look at who did we learn falsified business records today? Yet, what, hour, 2 hours? Felt like it could have been 7 hours. Of Michael Cohen talking about how he falsified business records. Okay, so you have a guy who has been a perjurer in the past that is now saying he falsified business records. What is the crime that Donald Trump committed? Now, it appears to be what they might allege is some sort of bookkeeping error or whatever. The real bookkeeping that we need accounting of is Judge Merchan's own family member collecting millions of dollars as a Democratic operative, using the existence of this trial as a fundraising ploy for Democrats. This is unconscionable. Oh. Imagine if the same shoe fit the other foot. Imagine if it was Joe Biden that was on trial. You had a Republican judge whose son was collecting millions of dollars as a Republican operative. What would you all be saying? Yeah. This would not be justice. This is injustice at its worst. So let's go even a layer deeper, right? Because let's go even a layer deeper.
He's like, shut up.
The alleged crime here is supposedly, they try to point to this every day, that he does not actually use campaign funds, that he used personal funds. Well, let's get this straight. Suppose Donald Trump had used campaign funds to make a personal expense. They'd be going after him for that. So if they're going to get him going or they're going to get him coming, that is the best proof that this is a politicized sham. Let's go through it piece by piece. If you tell somebody to go buy you a suit and you want to look good on television because that'll affect the voters, the way voters vote for you, you know what? They prosecute politicians if they use campaign funds to buy a suit. If they say, go get a haircut, if you use campaign funds to get a haircut because you want to look good to the voters, they will actually prosecute you for using campaign funds for a personal expense. Yet the entire legal theory of this case, the whole case that Alvin Bragg has brought, depends on one premise for them to charge this as a felony, is that Donald Trump somehow should have used campaign funds to make an allegedly personal payment. Yet if he had done that, their case against him would be even stronger. This is garbage. That is the best proof that you have that if they're going to get him Cohen or get him coming, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. This is a sham. This is not the United States of America. This is some third-rate banana republic. If this were happening in another country, we would be laughing at them as a sham democracy. I am ashamed as an American citizen to sit here in a courtroom watching the former leader of the free world, and let's be honest, likely next leader of the free world.
Yeah.
Sitting with the indignity Woo-hoo! In this dingy third-rate courtroom with fourth-rate prosecutors
Ouch.
And a fifth-rate lawyer on the stand as a witness. Who actually is violating attorney-client privilege left and right. Nobody's even talking about that. So this is a shame. Shame on the spirit in our country's history, but we will get through it and be stronger because you know who ultimately actually cast the vote on this case? It's not just the jurors in that jury box. It's every one of you at home. It's every American who votes this November to say no to the weaponization of justice. And if you're at home, you may say, you know what, I don't agree with everything Donald Trump's ever said. You know what, I may not agree with some of his policies even though they were great policies for 4 years. But you do agree, whether you are Democrat or Republican or black or white or gay or straight or man or woman, that our justice system should be blind to politics. That regardless of whether your last name is Biden or Trump, regardless of whether you've been a politician or not, you get a fair shake in our own legal system. And when you have a prosecutor who campaigned on the pledge of going after Trump and then keeps his campaign pledge, when you have a judge whose kids are collecting money from Democratic operatives by fundraising off the very trial that that judge is presiding over, and then telling the U.S. president that he's subject to a gag order, that he can't talk about it, that is not justice. That is a bastardization of what this country was founded on. And I'm here, and all of us are here, as friends of Donald Trump, supporting him in our personal capacity, sharing our opinions. That's why we're here today. But I hope every American at home who isn't able to be in that courtroom is able to see what's actually happening there. And when you do, we will have a landslide of historic proportion this November if every American understands the injustice that's playing out in that courtroom today. So may God bless our country. I pray for our future.
Damn,
and let's pray
baby.
For our country being strong.
Wow. Oh,
man.
This is talking about breaking the heat, man.
Wow.
Good Lord.
Man.
And he hits the nail on the head, the passion. Again, I cannot stress the utter genius of having these guys out here going to bat for Donald Trump.
It's funny. It's like, the left is saying, okay, we're going to do this trial. And then what Trump is doing and the Republicans is they're saying, okay, we're going to use it to our advantage.
Yeah.
Because already the spotlight is already on there. Well, let's use it to our advantage. Oh, Trump has got a gag order? Okay, watch this.
I'll one up you.
Yeah, always a step ahead.
What is the one thing we always say? You're never going to beat these people unless you beat them at their own game. You got to fight fire with fire. That's what he's doing. He's stuck in a courtroom, so he's playing by their rules. And now here he is beating them at their own game.
I got to say, it felt like Michael Jordan in his prime, not missing shots when that guy was just talking right now.
Right.
He was in the zone. He had all the knowledge, and it was like he couldn't spit it out quick enough.
Oh, no. He's so good, man. And he just
2032.
A lot of people were kind of squishy on Vivek because he came out of nowhere. Nobody knew who he was or whatever. But, I mean, as time goes on, you know, I don't know, me personally, and I'm like super skeptical of all these people.
Right.
I think everybody in politics is shady. I continue to have a good feeling about Vivek.
I'm about 98% there with Vivek. That's good for me. I'm almost completely sold.
I like it.
I think he's had an awakening of sorts.
Well, in his history, you know, people are hammering him about his history because he wasn't politically active. He wasn't a registered Republican, which all that's stupid. You don't have to be a red, especially with we see the seismic shift happening right now of people voting that voted Democrat or like, hey, I'm voting for Trump this time. Your past vote really is irrelevant at the end of the day. But there was this thing where he had gotten a grant from the WEF, and it's got Soros's name on it and everything else, and so they paid for some of his school because he was recognized as one of the future leaders, blah, blah, blah. That is a cause for concern, but I had not seen anything outside of that that contributed or excelled the thought that there was something nefarious there other than maybe he just was doing a lot of good work, and they wanted to get him on their side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my 2% I was talking about. Yeah.
So I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, he's playing for the right team.
This is the one thing that sells me on him, is if he were an operative working for the opposition, he would not be allowed to say the things that he has said thus far. Like, you can go and you can pretend to be with Donald Trump and everything else, but some of the things that he said, I'm like, oh, no, they'd never allow him to say that. Also, if he is an opposition operative, now's the time for them to pull the ripcord and have Vivek stab Trump in the back, because they're hemorrhaging support. Like, they're running out of time to take their spy and have them, you know, do a Judas, you know, abstay in the act bay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sounding like a terrorist right there.
Yeah.
I don't like my.
Well, since we have to make our own language up just to talk, you know.
That's true. Man, that's just frustrating. By the way, we got a new table in here. Can we just recognize Tony for his hard work? Look how big this table is. Look, we got so much more room here.
Nice, spacious.
It's nice. I like it. It's nice. New intro, new table, new everything.
You always want to take stuff and try to make it better. That's the
always,
point.
Always.
We're about to move into, I don't want to call it interview season, but we're about to start bringing some people in here. I think what we should do, guys, is have the Jawbone series over the next 3 weeks and get Dixon in here, get Leland in here, get AJ, and get Val in one at a time, even though we've had them before. You know, this studio, like, you tank from when Dixon was here. And by the way, pull, Tony, if you will, go to our YouTube channel and pull up that Dixon episode. I want everybody to see how different the studio looks compared to now when
it's
Dixon.
It's neat to see that when you
he's going to come in the studio and he's going to be like, man, this ain't even the same place.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to go so far down just to find him.
Yeah, give me a second. Here
Richard
we go.
Dixon. Yeah, just fast forward it to the middle of that, and we'll just kind of look at what we got going. And here's the thing: we have learned a lot since this, because this was very early on. What's the 6 months ago?
I think it was October. Yeah.
Check this out. Let's listen.
Okay.
Like either of you right now.
I love you, Richard.
Come on.
Where was
had to start that way?
Where was this radio station at?
It was a I went to broadcasting school at a place called Brown Institute, which was at the time the only brick and mortar broadcasting school in the United States.
Okay, so it doesn't look a lot different on that side, but when you get over to showing me, look how different it looks for me. And look at the backdrop, too.
Yeah, I'll do this.
We got the three TV screens and everything else.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm trying to say that.
So we got to get Dixon back in here. Look at that.
Now
that's crazy.
We've got to come up with a game or something, a different game for each one of them to do. Something, a challenge for them.
Huh. What kind of game?
I don't know. It should be based on their personality.
Mm. I think Dixon, if you're here when Dixon's here, that'd be a good thing. Kind of like when Matt Murphy was here. That was a good episode.
Oh, yeah. You being here for Murphy was really good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
If Dixon comes back, because we never made this rule that you have to bring something with you, but if Dixon comes back, do you think he's going to bring another gift?
I think he has the right to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, but he's very gracious. He's really, really a gracious guy.
I can't do Jell-O shots at 3 p.m. That's just not going to work for me.
Well, Dixon, if you see this and you bring Jell-O shots, I'll do them.
Tony Gump will do them. Did he sign? Did he autograph something while he was here?
Yeah, the souffle cup that one of them was in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. So we'll see who we can fit in out of those guys. Out of the host on the station, Dale Jackson, I don't think would probably make it, but if he ends up in town, we'll bring him on.
Yeah, he's going to be in town this Friday, so occasionally he is in town.
Really?
So he could you know, he could come in town.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens. There's just, I just wanted to compliment this studio, which we've had construction going on in and around the studio for almost the entirety of the 6 months.
Yeah, that's not kidding around.
But there's a lot of exciting stuff coming that nobody even knows about that will affect this podcast and everything else. So
constantly growing.
Constantly
growing.
Growing. What else do we got?
It's like podcast with the blue pill.
That's right.
Can we say that?
What?
Bay, you can say pay. Blue pill. You okay, just can't okay. say the other stuff.
I'm just so scared. What? Yeah. Can I say that? Erdskay?
What blue? Like, you're talking about Viagra?
I aggravate.
Blue Chew.
Yeah, see, I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death.
Now. Do you get those ads all the time on your Facebook, Blue Chew?
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm just asking. I get them all the time.
Yeah, oh, Andrew's okay. job's to ask questions.
Come yeah.
On, yeah. yeah.
You do get those ads a lot?
Yeah, I don't order that. Don't get me wrong.
Do you watch, like, when a Blue Chew ad comes up, do you watch it?
No.
Do you watch it in its entirety, or do you just...
No, I move on.
You ever curious about it? Like, if it works?
No. Why would I be curious about it? I'm like, I need it.
I mean, you're 60.
So what?
I mean, rumor has it once you get so old that you may need a little, you know, help.
They call me fine wine. I get better with age, if you know what I mean.
So no Blue Chew for John Bird?
Nope. No Blue Chew for me. I only need my depression medication and my anxiety medication. And I do need gummies to help me sleep. But other than that, what is the other stuff? The Klonopin? Yeah, I do need that. Mm. But I don't need no Blue Chew.
I can honestly say I didn't even know what Blue Chew was until right now.
Yeah.
I thought it was maybe like a dog food or something.
Nope. From, you know. It's, I was just curious. Because, I mean, when you take a bunch of antidepressants too, rumor has it that it affects that. So I didn't know if you had to offset.
Well, here's the sad part of that. In about 1.5% of people, it has the opposite effect.
Oh.
So, you know, it's tough. Sometimes I have to lower my dosage, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
So sometimes you just, you end up, you know.
Having to walk funny. You know?
With a big anti-depressed biz owner.
Using the children's urinal.
Yeah, birds.
That's enough about me.
Birds walking around just as happy and non-depressed as he can be with a snake in his
pants.
As
Bird would say, things are getting very bad around here right now.
I'm joking. John Bird goes up to Brimley and's like, hey, baby, I'm on that Zoloft, if you know what I'm saying.
No, Zoloft is not a good one.
Oh, it's not?
I've been through that. I've been through everything. My combination right now, my cocktail right now that I'm taking, it's perfect.
I got that Lexapro cocktail, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey, Bird, you ever tell a woman that she struck a chord with you or something cheesy like that with a guitar?
What a great no. God, I wish I'd have thought of that. I should have tried that on Brimley. Instead of being my charming, witty self. Oh, I did discover something. And you guys have never told me that, and thank you. My natural facial expression is to frown. Look.
Yeah, it really
And I'm
is.
Watching, like, when Jumper plays a guitar, I'm like, yes. I'm like one of those cats, you know, the big fat-headed cats that can talk.
Yeah, grumpy cat.
Yeah, you know, and it's got the so I've been working. It takes 43 muscles to frown, and it only takes like 16 muscles to smile. Yeah. But look at this. I have to go all the way up to here.
Yeah. You know, that's what...
How does that look?
That's where people get the bubbles gimmick from, is he's kind of got that frown, too. That's where people are going with that.
Okay, well, that's why I'm trying to work on this. How does this look? Yeah, I agree.
That looks fake as...
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
Well, I'm thinking what the women that have that face, they call it SBF.
RBF.
RBF, is that? Yeah, that's right.
What does that mean?
Resting bitch face.
You said it.
Oh, is it on the list?
Oh, no.
I saw it on the list.
Oh, no one's going to see this.
Okay, so just going back to the Blue Chew conversation. No. Not the Blue Chew. Not about Blue Chew, but about men, women, and how they feel about men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Blue Chew is for the guys. Like, right. If you got trouble getting a biz owner, you go with the Blue Chew. But there is this thing in culture. There is this what is the word I'm looking for?
Enhancement?
No. There's this idea among women, and especially liberal women, that men are more dangerous than a bear.
Yeah.
Okay, so I came across this clip from The View today, and apparently there's this TikTok trend about if you were to end up in the woods alone, would you rather be with a... You've seen these?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, would you rather be alone in the woods with a man or a bear? And apparently all these women are saying a bear. And so the best thing for us to do is to...
Show a video of someone being torn apart by a bear.
That roll tape. No.
Oh.
This is kind of similar. But Whoopi Goldberg... explaining why she thinks women are picking the bear over the man.
Apparently there is a question going viral on TikTok right now that asks, would you rather be alone in the woods with a man or a bear? And a considerable number of women said they'd rather take their chances with the bear. I'm going with the bear also because, yes, the bear will not shoot me. He's not going to go, itch.
He'll eat you alive, idiot.
No, grizzlies will gnaw on you.
Yeah.
But if you've been standing there long enough to see the grizzly coming, you the dummy. Apparently,
okay.
No, you can't outrun a grizzly. You can't.
Oh. What a theory that is that a bear can't shoot me. Is that just a thing that men go around shooting people?
I don't know. Women, but do you really think they believe that? Or are they just trying to get us all riled up?
Well, now some of the young, the young ones, yeah, I believe they.
I'm talking about The View, Bird. These people. Oh, well, I'm not idiots. Talking about the bears.
They're idiots.
I can tell you about bears because I got lost in the woods when I went with my parents to the mountains. I was 8 years old, and there was a little path, and I thought it ran parallel. So I said, "I'm gonna do this, Dad." He's like, "Okay," and it started going higher up in the mountains and higher up, and I thought I heard something. And then I kind of looked over and I thought I saw something like behind a tree. And I would walk and you'd hear leaves. And I'd stop, I'd look, and I saw something right there on the tree. And then, like an angel out of heaven, I hear my sister's voice, "John! John!" She came up and got me. I had actually started walking. I was walking like through a little riverbank thing to try and get away from it. And she grabbed me and got me out of there. She saved my life. So let me tell you what. A bear, one swipe, head gone, blood everywhere. So you know what?
Senator Smitherman would call that a booger bear.
It would be a booger bear. That would be booger a booger bear. A booger bear.
Let's pull that video up that I gave you. This is actually the clips from TikTok that where they're asking these women, would you rather be in the woods alone with a man or a bear? And most of these women apparently say a bear. Now,
would you rather be stuck in a forest with a man or a bear?
Bear. Man is scary.
With a bear.
What I've heard about bears, they don't always attack you, right? Unless you like fuck with them. So maybe a bear.
Whoa.
Depends what man, but probably a bear.
100% a bear, which is like terrifying to say, but...
Definitely a bear. Some men are very scary out there. A bear.
I would say a man.
Would you rather be stuck in a forest with a man or a bear?
Probably a bear, because I detest men.
They should ask a bear or her.
Right,
be
right.
The bear then.
Oh, oh. You know what, I mean? What do you think the bear wants to do?
The bear is not going to ask pronouns.
I'm a person who likes bears a lot more. Like, as,
oh my!
Even look at the bear in the bottom right. He's like, meh, I don't want to be with him.
Being stuck with a bear, it doesn't have to do anything with like men. Essentially, I just really like bears.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
If they set a bear in a cage,
a man.
You know.
Well, yeah, obviously, I can't fight the bear. I can fight the man. Like,
thank you. Yeah.
A man. Mm. Because I could make him do things for me.
Oh,
whoa! Oh, now man. This one right here, this first lady.
Mm-hmm.
The bear would be like, please pick the man. Because I do not want to be alone with you.
Oh.
I'm a little sus.
It's just amazing to me that these people actually really believe that. And it tells you they haven't been out. Like, go up to a bear and then you change your
mind.
Yeah,
I mean, even for the bear, a blue chew wouldn't help him in that situation.
Mm-mm. Now, there we go again. Less views.
Okay. Well, let's do this before we forget. Let's analyze the list of words that you allegedly can't say on YouTube.
I'll pull it up.
Here's where the trick's going to be. We can't say these words because we'll end up railroading this video, but we can show them on the screen. And we have a lot of people, believe it or not, we have a lot of people that listen to the audio side of this podcast. So if that is you, go to YouTube if you want to see this list or watch the video on Spotify. It's available there as well. But this list is so incredibly long. And again, this is dumb that we're even showing it because I
can't
say it.
Focus on the yellow. Okay.
Without
saying them, yeah.
I'm like looking at them. I'm wanting to say them. Yeah. Just keep scrolling and show people how far this list goes down.
Oh, it.
So the yellow is a no-no. The green is okay.
I think the green has to do with like thumbnail words.
wait, go back up.
It's more stars. I think the worse it gets, they give you more stars.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
The yellow one's there. Yeah.
Yep. What? Anyway.
Well, we can say these words in pig Latin.
Whoa.
Eep day oat thre was one of them.
Yeah, there's some decent.
Let's see. Ildo day.
What is that one?
What?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Erty Day was one.
Yeah, those.
Augie
yeah.
Day, I'll stay.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Oosh Day, Agbay. Rye Day, Umpay.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either. Okay, go. Cool. Let's say.
Whoa.
Wait.
That one surprises me.
Anyway. Acculate EJ.
Oh.
What's another one? Oh, there's like
people's
names.
That's a medical term.
Hold on.
There we go.
Wow, you can't say that?
No. There we go. See, we're done.
Rectile A is function day.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's all medical stuff. I don't understand. I
well, obviously, Blue Chew doesn't have a podcast.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, you okay. can't do up.
Those
fay.
Are all bad.
Oh.
Okay.
Can't do. You can't.
No
do
wonder. No
art
wonder.
Fay.
Oh yeah.
You can't say art fay.
Elatio fay.
Yeah. Oh.
Which all medical terms.
Medical terms.
All right. Let's see. Hold on. Ut job fay. Go up. Other way. Andal fay. An undled fay. You can't say those. All right, let's see. You've got
let's just skip
a lot
those
of,
ones. Yeah.
Well, it's just a lot of variations of the F word. You've got Engay Engbay.
That he's
you
right
can't
about
say
the
that.
Medical yeah. stuff.
Let's see.
Whoa.
You gotta slow down.
Okay, sorry. I get paranoid showing this.
A Well, now I'm not going to say that in Pig Latin because I'll pick it up. Keep you go to the next ones. Inidals J.
What?
Yeah. Earl's Gay on Gay Isled Way. You remember those videos from back in the day? You can't even say that.
What in the world?
Wait, I don't understand. That one says Ottengay?
Yeah, I don't understand this.
Let's see. Ope Gray?
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. Just keep going.
Okay.
We're not going to be able to do this for 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, so. There's so it just doesn't stop.
And wait, some of them, if I do Pig Latin, it sounds too close like the regular thing, so I'm going to stop because it's going to end up dinging us. A lot of that is just actual say stuff, you know, which is obvious. Like you would think that you can't. I mean, we have no reason to say that.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this one in the highlight. I heard that term a long time ago. I always wondered.
Oh, Ot Hey Arl K.
I think it's a position.
Yeah, it's like a dirty Sanchez or something, I think.
That's probably in here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
What about Dutch oven is what I meant.
You're going to get us in trouble.
We're not going to be.
Oh, look at that. That's got to be a copyright thing. Well, maybe.
We're not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, y'all. There's no
way. That's just depressing.
It's tough navigating these waters.
Yeah.
Anyway. YouTube, I'm sorry for the Blue Chew like conversation.
We're trying our best here, seriously.
I know, we're only human.
Well, we will see what comes of this episode after we post it. I encourage everybody that's made it this far to say whether or not this popped up, because at the end of the day, some of the people that are subscribed but also have their notifications on, you know, part of me thinks that some of them aren't getting the notifications. Like, it's not telling them that there's a new episode because our numbers were lower on the last one.
And I've heard stuff like this from lots of YouTubers. They're having the same issues. It's a whole thing.
Well, here's what I want everybody to know is these episodes are available in a lot of places. Audio platforms that you can use, we're on there. Rumble, we're on there. Actually, I think that's it.
Actually, Rumble and X right now will end up being the place to go, kind of thing.
Should we start posting our full videos on our full podcast on X, y'all think?
I think so, because
they're
not
gonna... Let's do it. Darn it, let's do it.
Yeah.
Decision made. Let's do it.
It's a lot freer there, and we don't have to sit here and go through lists and then kick ourselves every 5 minutes for talking normal.
Because this is what Tucker does. He posts his whole videos on... Okay, we'll start.
Let's
doing
do
that.
Fine
with me. All right, so then we'll put this... I can't use my words. Video, this episode, on Twitter.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Okay, it's done. Settled. All right, we're going to get out of here. Tony Gump, final words.
Final words are Jawbone Jam. June 21st, be there and listen to 99.5 FM Monday through Friday, 11 to 2.
That's some good advice, Tony Gump. John Berg.
Always smile. It takes a lot of muscles to frown, but you want to smile. So always smile. And eat your meat. And drink a lot of water.
There you go.
And get plenty of sleep. And the sunlight is very important. And don't lie. Always tell the truth. Be a good citizen.
I don't think you were ready for your final words. Do you want to reset? We've got time for you to.
Okay. All right. Always carry the ones you love in your heart. Even the ones that have passed this life. You didn't like that?
No.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
Get the other side.
Hey now. All right, we're out of here. Thank y'all for everything you do. Thank you for watching and commenting and liking. Please, please, please continue to do that. It's going to help us out. And we will be back very soon with a brand new episode. Until then, see you guys!